Good morning, my friends. How are we this beautiful day? You guys must be feeling like I do. I don't know if it's an allergy morning or what on earth, but I'm ready for a nap already. So, but not during Pastor Josh's sermon. Not appropriate then. Anyway, but nevertheless, folks, it is wonderful to be gathered here in our Father's house. And let us pray this morning as we get started that God gives us supernatural energy to be able to be focused and sharp through this service so that God can continue to do his work in our hearts and our minds as we receive from him the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately need this morning. Let us begin our worship service today in his name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, the day that we get to come into your presence, to spend time with you, to hear from your word, to be encouraged by your spirit, Lord, to be forgiven for our sins and given strength and energy, Lord, to go back out and face the world. Lord, I pray that you would be present among us, Lord. Give us all the things that we need this morning, Lord, so that we can live as your people. Thank you for giving us all of this, Lord, and this opportunity to return thanks and praise to you for all that you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us begin by bringing our sins before our God and receiving his forgiveness. We confess. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our God has overcome the King who was and is and can. to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome.
Hallelujah. Good morning. I'm Kevin Chigg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 19 through 25. Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading for today is Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 23. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. This command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. This is God's word for us today. Children, it is now time for the children's message, and my dad, Pastor Bill, has got the message for today.
Good morning. Did you notice that the Bible passages, both of them, were addressed to my son? And I'm sure he meant daughters, too. But you know what that means? That means God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And we are so blessed because He loves you. He made you special, didn't He? Do you know He gave you a special present? Do any of you have a father? And raise your hand if you have a father. Okay. How about a mother? Raise your hand if you have a mother. So we all have fathers and mothers. What a wonderful gift God has given us. Yeah, we have a mother and a father to take care of us. That's a wonderful gift that God gave us. And God wants us to obey our fathers and to listen to our mother's teaching. Do you know God gave fathers a very special job? He says, fathers, raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means the father is responsible for teaching you about Jesus. That is wonderful, because now your mom and your dad are the best teachers you're ever going to have. Because when you go to school, you get a teacher for 1 year, and then the next year you get a different teacher, and then you get a different teacher. But mom and dads are with you all the time, aren't they? They're all the time there to teach you that Jesus loves you. And Jesus lived and died for you so that you can live with Him forever in heaven. How wonderful that is. And your parents love you so much that they want you to have that saving faith so they can see you in heaven. Yeah, they want to see you in heaven when they get there. Are you going to live in heaven forever? Yeah, you are. Because your parents teach you about Jesus. They teach you about Jesus' love and how He lived and died for you. Should we thank God for our parents? For mom and dad? Let's fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for giving us our moms and dads. Help us, Lord, to always listen to their teachings and obey them, because we love them as they love us. Amen.
All right, children, it is now time for a little worship. You guys can meet at the cross in the center aisle, and We will be bringing the kids back again after the service or sermon is over.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sin can often make it difficult to see God's truth. And sin can often make it difficult to believe that God's truth will come to be. But sin does not negate God's truth. Sin does not overcome God's truth. Again, sin can make it difficult at times to see God's truth, and sin can make it difficult at times to believe that God's truth will come to be. But sin doesn't change God's truth. God's truth remains. And while there's a lot of things in life that we will face that what I just said can be a reflection of the difficulties of things, the particular lens that we're looking at for today is honoring your father and your mother. Now, we're in the midst of a sermon series, all in the family, and it's all about God's desire and God's design for relationships within the family. And so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Bob talked to us about God's will, God's desire for marriage and what that relationship looks like. And last week, Pastor Bob talked about God's will for parents and how it is that God's parents are given the command to teach your children, raise them up in the ways of God, in the knowledge and the truth of God. And so you know the commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. And God gives a promise with it, that it might go well with you when you go to the land that I am taking you. Later on, when Deuteronomy, when you have the retelling of the law, once again, God says, honor thy father and mother, that you might live long in the well, long in the land that I am taking you, and that it might be well for you. It sounds a bit to me like Mr. Spock, live long and prosper, but I think that's God's design with regard to honor your father and your mother. But as I was reflecting upon the sermon for today, I was recalling many times that I feel like as of late hearing more and more stories of difficulties of adults keeping this commandment. In other words, it's very obvious when you have a child, like, oh, you are being raised, you're to honor your father and mother. But when you get to be an adult, sometimes it can get a little bit more messy, can it not? There's a lot of factors for this. As I was doing a deep dive into what is becoming a common practice of adult children becoming estranged, cutting off, having no contact with their parents. As I was reflecting on this and looking at this, it was suggesting that about 1 in 4 adults at some point in their adult life will cut off contact with their parents. And there's a lot of factors for why that has played out that way. And yet still the commandment, the truth of God, remains. When I was in my 20s, I wondered to myself as I had my mom share something with me, and I was like, I think I know better than her on this particular thing. You know, typical son thought. Never left my teenage years. But anyway. And I wondered, do I still need to honor my father and my mother? And that's why I included the Proverbs today, because I think they reflect that reality. Because it's not just as you are growing up in the house of your parents that you are to honor your father and mother, but it says, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. And it says as well, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. And lastly, hear my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, where the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. In other words, as I look at those, I feel that there's really no argument from Scripture that says that you get to a place where you supersede the need to honor your father and your mother. But the truth of God remains. Although sin might at times make it difficult to see the truth of God, and sin might at times make it difficult to believe that the truth of God is possible, but sin cannot completely overdo or change the truth of God. And so I reflected as well on the word honor. The Hebrew word is kavod, which means to make heavy of all things. Now, this doesn't mean every time your parents come to visit you, you should feed them a Thanksgiving dinner. Could be nice, though. But rather what it is if you think of something as being weighty, of significant importance, it is heavy. And the semantic concept transfers. And so that which is honored is that which is made important, made significant. And so we're called by God, as you consider and think about your father and your mother, they are to be in a place of honor, a place of weight, a place of significance in your mind. To not just dismiss them, but to treat them kindly. But again, as I did a deep dive into this and reflecting on why is it that so many adults have become estranged from their parents, the reality is that all of us have sinful parents. Which means all of us have parents who made mistakes, and not just one, but many mistakes over and over because they are sinful. And so all of us then have been on the receiving end of sin. And all of us in our own sin are tempted to then respond in sin. And so in this compounding of sin, it makes it difficult then for forgiveness to happen at times, does it not? There's a Presbyterian minister who had a TV program. You might be familiar with it. There's a little introductory song. It was something like this. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Mr. Rogers had many different things to say about many different topics, and some of them are regarding forgiveness. And one of the things that he's quoted as noting is how forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes actually be easier to forgive our enemies than it can be to forgive friends. And sometimes the hardest people of all to forgive are the ones that we love. He goes on to note as well that forgiveness is a letting go of the anger that you have towards somebody else. If you look at the New Testament, the word that is most often translated as forgiveness literally means to release, to let go. And this is the concept then. You're not going to hold someone accountable for what they have done to you, but you are releasing the anger that otherwise you might have toward them. And I don't say this as if to suggest that that which you have experienced should just be mulled over, thought any less of. No, significant things happen. And when the people who have been entrusted by God to the care of others sin, sad and terrible things are the fruit of that. And yet, even though sin can make the truth of God difficult to see. And in fact, sin can make the truth of God difficult to believe possible. Sin does not change the truth of God, and the truth of God is that God says to each and every one of us to honor your father and your mother, that it might go well with you and that you might live long in the land. So what do? If you're an individual who's experienced a true and genuine hurt from the person that you are most trusting of, most loving of, how do you move forward? And the difficult thing is, by yourself, you cannot. Part of the difficulty for many of the adults that were polled that reflected that 1 in 4 adults who have become estranged from at least one parent was the difficulty of the other parent, or rather the parent that they are estranged from, insisting ever on their own way. There's a lot of different technical definitions for the term narcissism. As I was researching for this sermon, one person threw out there that a narcissist is someone who, because of their experience in life, have led them to feel that they can only trust themselves with regard to what they see as best. And that's a difficult place to be. That's a difficult place for any Christian who is called to not put your trust in yourself, but to trust in a God who is caring for your needs. But if you are somebody who has a parent who, every time you interact with that parent insists they know the best way for you and you must follow and bend to their will, that makes it difficult to have a relationship with that parent. It makes it difficult to honor that parent. It makes it difficult to see any way forward where maybe in the future, someday, the truth of God can be reflected in the relationship between you and your parent. And the truth is that if you are depending upon the other person to change, it won't happen. And because of that, one of the prevailing wisdom for people is if you have a parent who every time you interact with them, all they do is demand their way among all things, the prevailing wisdom is to cut off ties. Yet still we are told, honor our father and our mother. And it's difficult. How do you put these things in balance? How do you move forward? Because the truth of God doesn't change. But the reality is that your hope is not in the other person that they might change. And the hope is not even in yourself that you might change, but rather your hope is in a God who can do amazing things. You have a God who already says, sin is a problem and I need to address it, so I will do that. You have a God who has taken a murderer of his people and said, I have a better plan for you. And he took Saul and he changed his name to Paul, and he became one of the most amazing evangelists of the early church. You have somebody who was so steeped in his own perspective of having to take care of his own needs that he took from his own people, and when he was given the position of authority to say, this is how much money you owe the Romans, he took more for himself and more and more and more and more. And God was able to take Zacchaeus and say, you don't have to keep living this way. I have a better plan for you. God was able to take a man who in his birth, he is grasping at pulling back someone else. And given an opportunity, he looked at his brother, who he should love and give any support to he can, and said, my brother was born like 3 seconds before me, so he gets everything and I get nothing, and I don't like that. So he told his brother, who came back from hunting, you know what? I'll give you this stew for the right of you being the firstborn. You give that to me and I get everything, and I'll give you this stew that'll allow you to live. And on Jacob went, ever grabbing the heels of people, ever forcing his own desires and will throughout everyone that he lives, until finally he wrestles with God and God says, I have a different plan for you. And finally, Israel trusts God. In other words, your hope is not in that another person might change, because it's not possible for that person to change on their own, but rather your hope is in a God who believes that sin is a problem, is going to address those problems, and believes that there's a better way for people. So what does that mean for you if you're part of the 25% who are struggling to honor your father and your mother? Well, it means you pray. You say, God, I am really struggling with the dynamics between myself and my parent or parents. I'm struggling because of all the hurts that I've experienced growing up. I'm struggling because of who they continue to be in my life when we come together. And I can't do it on my own, God. I need your help. God, help me to be patient in this relationship. God, help that person to be who you desire them to be. Because you have put forth your truth that the dynamics between parents and children is to be one of honor, to be one of a relationship, to be one of support, and something that is good for both people involved. And that's not the way it is right now, but God, I believe you can make it so. You pray that prayer, something like it. You turn yourself and say, God, I'm turning over any control I have to you because I can't do it. But I'm going to trust in you, because if you've told me this is your truth and that I have to follow it, then I'm going to trust you're also going to give me the way to do it. But it doesn't happen immediately. And it is a hard road. But it's a road that God calls us to follow, because he calls us to trust in him. And he says, this is the design that I have for family. This is the design of how it is to be. Your hope and your trust is in a God who can do amazing and astounding things, has done amazing and astounding things in and through sinful people. People who are broken, who have failed, who have struggled, and time again have thought, I want only my own desires. And God says, I have a better way for you, and you can follow this with my help. So regardless of the broken relationship that you might have, whether it be with a parent, whether it be with a sibling, whether it be with a friend, whether it be with somebody else who is significant in your life, and you say, God, I don't want it to be like this. I don't think it needs to be like this. Please help. Put your trust and your hope in God, because you are his child as well. And he loves you and he desires good things for you. Amen.
Sometimes sorrow is the Jordan key. Sometimes heartache is the gift I need. Your faithful, faithful in all things. In every high, in every low, on mountain tops, down broken roads, you're still my rock. My hope remains, I'll rest in the arms of Jesus, come what may.
down broken roads. You're still my rock, my hope remains. I'll rest in the arms of Jesus, come what may. Come what may. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, leads me to still waters, and He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, leads me to still waters, and He restores my soul. In every high, in every low, on mountain tops, down broken roads, you're still my rock, my hope remains. I'll rest in the arms of Jesus. In every high, in every low, on mountain tops, down broken roads, you're still my rock, my hope.
My friends, please stand as we confess the faith that we have received from our God through His holy word. We confess using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Dar up forward for the Life Talk.
Good morning. What a blessing to be with you and to worship the God who loves us. In the Life Talk this morning, I'd like to begin with some basics. Where do we get our truth and information? And how does the Life Team fit into the ministry of St. Mark's? God's Word instructs us who believe in Him and His Son Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and this His truth that we want to base our lives on. The next two scriptures use the word fear. Fear here doesn't mean to be afraid of, it means to reverence or revere. Listen to it in that way. From Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And from Proverbs 2, my child, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Your St. Mark's Life Team wants to encourage Bible-based understanding of life issues and the value that God gives life from womb to tomb, and it wants to be a part of the ministry of St. Mark's. The mission statement of your Life Team reads, "We exist to prepare and equip people in our church motivated by faith in Jesus Christ to love and care for people from conception to the natural end of life." God's wisdom, that which causes us to have true knowledge, says this regarding life's beginning in Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And regarding life's natural end, Isaiah 46 says, listen to me, O my people, who have been born by me from before birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. Here are some challenges that we have as God's people as we face our culture and its attitude towards God-given life and its value. These are reasons, then, for our regular prayers to God and for us to be gospel-motivated voices for life as God sees it. We are to be his witnesses. We want to help equip you for that ministry. Here are the reasons for prayer and taking a stand for life. There were just over 1 million abortions in the United States in 2024. 63.4 million since 1973, and at that time, the passage of Roe v. Wade. Since 1997, when the Death with Dignity Act was passed in Oregon and upheld by the Supreme Court, 4,300 have died in the USA by physician-assisted suicide. 11 states, not Missouri, and the District of Columbia now have such laws. The abortion pill, mifepristone, which is now readily available, was fast-tracked for approval in 2000 because providers contended that it was necessary to give easier access to abortion without any restrictions, and especially after the Supreme Court Dobbs decision in 2022, which overturned Roe v. Wade. The drug in 2023 accounted for 63% of abortions in the USA. That means 650,000 living yet unborn babies died, and that only included those by doctor prescription, not those that were ordered online. We don't know what that figure is. And 11% of women who take the pill have severe complications within 45 days after taking the drug. There is some good news. There are some pharmacies who are refusing to fill these prescriptions. For example, the 500-plus Costco pharmacies are refusing to carry the drug. And finally, with the passage of Amendment 3 in Missouri, abortion procedures are available in Missouri again without any restrictions for medical oversight. However, Missouri lawmakers are working to get the measure back on the ballot again so that we can protect life in Missouri. So you see, we have a lot of reasons to join in prayer and to speak up for life whenever we are given the opportunity. Always and only motivated by the love of Jesus and our commitment to his word. God bless us all as we affirm life from womb to tomb. Just a final reminder, there's a Life Team bulletin board in the entranceway that the Life Team changes regularly. We encourage you to take a look at that. Thank you.
All right, my friends, as we come together to pray, there's a few things I want to mention. First of all, we want to be continuing to pray for Ed Ployer, who is now in rehab after his heart surgery and all the complications. He is doing much better, and hopefully we'll be getting home soon. Also, we want to be praying for the family of Joni Linenbroker, whose funeral service is going to be on Saturday at 2 o'clock here at St. Mark's. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us this incredible. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we live together, growing closer to each other, Lord, but also growing closer to you as we do so. Lord, let these relationships be the laboratory in which we learn about grace and love and forgiveness and long-suffering and all the things, Lord, we're going to need in order to live as your people in this world. Lord, I pray that you would bless all of these relationships, Lord, even when they're, and especially when they're difficult. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the family, the Linenbroker family, Lord, at the death of Joni. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be their peace and their strength. Help us, Lord, as we have the opportunity to, Lord, to pray for them, Lord, and to speak your comfort, Lord, into their lives. Lord, I pray you'd also be with Ed as he continues to recover from his surgery. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help his body to heal. Bless the work of the physical therapists and doctors, Lord, who are helping him, Lord, to get back home again. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless his family with patience and long-suffering, this is, Lord, as they continue to help him through all of these difficult things. Lord, we also pray that you would continue to be with the leaders of our country, Lord. Today we pray especially for those in our federal government, Lord. I pray that you would be with the president and the Congress and the Supreme Court, Lord, as they work. Lord, I pray especially for for Congress as they struggle to pass a budget, Lord, for our country. Lord, I pray that you would help them to resolve their differences quickly. Thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you have given your people. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink it. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
It's like it was yesterday. I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope. And now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I've run out of numbers before I can thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life, the more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that. Thank you.
counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life, more than I want you to see here, more than your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'm counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life, the more that I look into detail, the more I know goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high.
What an incredible miracle our God gives us, and he gives it to us so often. You know, of course, he knows we need it often as well. It's not easy to live in this world. We sin all the time and struggle against sin all the time, and so he gives us this meal whereby we receive the forgiveness of sins and then receive the sustenance, the life, the energy to go out and struggle against sin. He knows exactly what we need. And since our God is faithful and has once again provided us this amazing gift, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Your heart.
My friends, please be seated. All right, first of all, any children heading off to Sunday school can go at this time and meet Lauren in the back of the church, and she will take you off to for Sunday school. After the service is over today, and every Sunday, even if I don't mention it, there is an elder available to pray individually with anybody who needs prayer in the prayer chapel over here. Let's see here. What else is there? We have a Bible study video to promote the next Bible study, which is 4 sessions in Haggai, Building God's Church. Excellent. And I just want to encourage you all, as we are doing this work together, being the church together, to be involved in Bible study. Sunday morning is good. Hearing a message and, you know, a sermon is good. But if you think about it, that's 54 about sermons you're going to hear a year. There's a lot more in the Bible than that. And it might be a good idea for us to drink a little bit more deeply from Scripture so that we can be prepared to be God's people in this world. It's kind of a big deal. So I just want to encourage you that either on Sunday morning, during the week, whenever you possibly can, do be involved in Bible study. Bible study, by the way, this morning, Pastor Josh's Bible study is going to be in the asylum since the worship team is starting to prepare for the Christmas service already. And let's see here, what else is there? Oh, I wanted to let you guys know, the Guatemala mission trip, I know that it's in the bulletin that the dates are the January 3rd through February 7th, but if you are interested in going, you have to let Sherry know right away. We're probably going to be buying tickets really soon to go, and if you're not... What is it? January 30th. That's right, we were talking about this. We lost a zero someplace. It would be a really long mission trip otherwise, wouldn't it? The 3rd through the 7th? Yeah, the 30th through the 7th. Otherwise, it'd be a very large commitment. But nevertheless, the same thing is true, though, is if you're going, if you would like to go, if you're interested in going, please talk to us soon because we're going to be buying tickets really soon. The prices are good right now. Let's see here. First communion classes are going to begin on October 26th. So if anybody, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, anybody not trained needs to get ready to come to that. That'll be on Sunday morning. And let me think if there's anything else. I think that's everything we got then. Oh, Camilla's. Don't forget about Camilla's. Oh, and we do have this vaccination thing happening in the back right now. So if they haven't stabbed your arm yet, you can definitely get lined up. I got it done already this morning. I survived. It was all good. All right, so it'll be excellent. All right, outstanding, my friends. God's blessings on your week, and thank you for being part of our service this morning.